vertical, aligning our heart with God's. Let me read to you from Matthew 9, 35 through 38. And Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Would you bow your heads and would you pray with me, please? Merciful Heavenly Father, we come to you and we adore you, Father. We worship you in spirit and truth. Our hearts and our worship are unto you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being here with us. Thank you for being here in our worship. Thank you for being here in this teaching. Thank you for being here in our fellowship. And thank you for being here in all of your people within whom you reside, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would bless our time today, that you would cause us to understand more of your word, that we would draw it into our hearts and it would help us to become more like Jesus, that we would be true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that that means, Lord, that our lives would be sold out to the service of the kingdom of God. Father, we ask you these things in Jesus' name, and all of his people said, amen. 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 So the first verse in Matthew 9, 35 through 38, it says this, and we'll read it again. Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogue. So that's one of the things that Jesus was doing. It's important to note that Jesus didn't just stick to the big cities. He didn't stick to Jerusalem. He didn't stick to the major town. He went through the villages and the towns and the back roads and the byways, and he went to the people who were accepted, and he went to the people that were not accepted. He went to all people. He went to the lepers. He went to those who were hurting, those who were dying, and to those who were dead. He went to the demoniacs. He went to everybody. And it's scripture says that he healed every disease, preaching the good news. What is the good news? What do we talk about when we talk about the good news? Well, we talked about it this morning, didn't we, when we looked at the table. The good news is this idea that Jesus Christ has paid the price, that his death on the cross paid the price for our sin, and that is good news, because if he hadn't have paid the price, guess what would happen? You would pay the price yourself. And that price is death. That price is blood. Just like we said as we partook of communion. So that's the good news. He was preaching the good news. He was teaching the people about God, his Father. And he was healing every sickness and every disease. Anybody would come to him and he would do all of these things for them. He was concerned for the people. It was the forefrontal thing on his mind, was his concern for the people. And you know what? Jesus is still delivering good news, isn't he? He's still working among his people, delivering the gospel, delivering good news. He's still preaching the good news. He's still teaching the people. His Holy Spirit is working among the people of God throughout the world, and he's counseling them. He's befriending them. He's showing them the way. He's actively... Remember we said that Jesus Christ is active in God's people's lives. He's not some God who sits off in the far and kind of watches things happen around him. He is an active participant in his kingdom. Question. Who are we supposed to follow? Well, what do you mean when you say that, Pastor? We read through the scripture this idea of following. Of following me. The scripture says, Jesus said, "Follow me." What exactly does that mean as it ties back in with this scripture from Matthew that we're talking about? Who are we to follow? From Galatians 4, 18 through 20, it's a good thing to be ardent in doing good. But not just when I'm in your presence. Paul is speaking to the church at Galatia, and he's away, and he's sent this letter. Can't you continue the same concern for both my person and my message when I'm away from you that you had when I was with you? Do you know how I feel right now? Now, this is Eugene Peterson's The Message. Do you know how I feel right now and will feel until Christ's life becomes visible in your life? Okay, from this scripture from Paul, we begin to get a little bit of an inkling of what we're talking about when it says to follow him. to follow Jesus. There's a couple of ways to think about this idea of following. The first has to do with walking behind someone. The other has to do with becoming a disciple, of following after what that person does. From Luke 4:18, Jesus' ministry has just begun. He's come to the temple and he reads the scripture. He quotes from Isaiah and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," and he's pointing me to preach the good news. There it is again. The good news to the poor. "He sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind." Who are the prisoners? Demonic oppressed, healing, health issues that are just crushing. "Recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the year of Jubilee, when everything, all debts are canceled and everything goes back to the original." All debts are canceled and everything goes back to the original owner. Who is the original owner of God's people? Who holds the debt? Sin. Sin is the debt. Sin is the debt, and the debt is paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus has come to pay, to proclaim the acceptable Jubilee year of the Lord, freedom from God's people, to follow. To follow. To come or go behind or after someone else. To follow. Number two, to be a follower or a disciple or someone in the sense of adhering to the teaching or instructions of a leader and in promoting the cause of such leader. To follow, to be a disciple of. Who are we supposed to follow? We follow Jesus. We follow after him. He has saved us, and we follow where he's. We follow him as he leads us. But being a follower also means that we're a disciple, that we carry his cause forward, right? That we do what he did. We follow the model, the prescription that he laid out before us. Follow me. Matthew 9:9, and Jesus, as he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. And he told him, he said, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and he followed him. He's a tax collector collecting money, probably ripping the people off from money. And Jesus walks by him and he says, "Follow me." And Matthew got up. He left his employment and he followed him. Became a disciple. Became a follower of Jesus. 10:37 from Matthew. "Anyone who loves his father or his mother more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Follow me. Jesus says, follow after me. But he says, follow me in what I've done here. I've come to proclaim freedom for the captive, delivery for those who are held in bondage, healing for those who have been crushed by the oppression of Satan. Follow me. And he's still doing it today, isn't he? From Matthew 9:36, so we know that Jesus is healing and doing good all through the towns and villages. And then when he saw the crowds began to build around him. Because, I mean, when every person they bring to him is healed and there's no doctors, can you imagine? Can you imagine if Jesus walked through the earth today, what would happen? With that kind of power, no gaming, no foolishness, none of the chicanery that we see today, but we see honest to goodness healings. People with heart disease, people with twisted limbs and diseases. If Jesus were here and every one of them, everyone would be healed. There would be no questions, would there? Do you think there would be throngs? Do you think there would be crowds as Jesus walked by the hospital? I'm telling you, there'd be crutches flying out the window. There'd be people crawling down the stairs. Anything to get to Jesus to be healed. Millions and millions of dollars we spend individually on health care so that we can be well. Nobody wants to be sick. Nothing worse than being sick. But can you imagine? He had compassion on the people. He understood them. He understood their pain and what they were going through. And he was a man, wasn't he? So important. He had to become a man because he had to shed his blood. He was God incarnate. God who came to the earth, born of the Virgin Mary. He became flesh and blood so that he could pay the price for our sin. And in doing so, he knows what you know. He knows what you feel. He knows what you go through when you're not well and the suffering that you go through. And the oppression from Satan. He understands these things and he has compassion for them. Compassion moved Jesus, and it needs to move us. That we are understanding of what people go through. Jesus is still healing today. The compassion that drove and pushed Jesus to the very edge and to finally giving his life is what we go through. From Acts 10:34, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power, and he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. And healed just a few. The compassion of Christ drove him forward. And it must drive us, shouldn't it? It must cause us to look out at the throngs. I want to ask you, how big of multitude is there? And it pushes us forward because of the compassion for him. Healing all who are under the power of the devil because Jesus was with him. And then Jesus says to us, he says, follow me. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me. There's none of this mamby-pamby Christianity. Whoever told you that sold you a bill of goods. To serve Jesus means to surrender your life to Jesus. It means to make him Lord. It's not just Sundays for an hour. To serve Jesus means to serve him with every fiber of your body. Read it with me. I'm not making this up. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servants will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. To follow. He's still doing the miracles and the works. And it's driven by compassion. And we're called to follow him. Greater things than these will they do in my name, he said. Who would do? His servants would do. You would do. God's people would do. Greater things than the miracles Jesus did. How is it even possible? Greater things. Because I go to the Father, he said. Greater. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Peter is being restored by Jesus. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you know him? Do you know the man? No, I don't know the man. Get away from me. Do you know the man? You were one of them. You were with him. No, I don't know the man. You're one of his disciples. No, not me. Do you love me, Peter? Once. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Yes, I love you, Lord. Then feed my sheep. And I tell you, you were younger when you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. And when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death, which would be a death of crucifixion upside down, because Peter said, I will not be crucified in the same manner as my Lord. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to Peter, as he's restored him three times, he said, follow me. What do you mean, follow me? What do you mean, Lord? What do you mean? What do you want from me, Lord? Lord, I've confessed. I've said I've loved you. I said I'd serve you. What more can I do? He says, follow me. Unto death. You will die for me, Peter. What does it mean to be a disciple? We follow after him, but we follow in his ways. We become his disciples, his children. Matthew 9:37, and we continue with the scripture, and then he says, disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He's compassion upon them. He's healing them. He sees the multitudes out there. And then he says to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. What does he mean? He sees the multitude. He sees the people, the throngs out there. And he sees they're desperate. Remember, he's in the villages and he's in the towns. He's going into the highways and the byways. And they're coming in droves to be healed. And he looks out over them and he sees their desperate situation. And he looks at the disciples and he said, the harvest is plentiful. Look at the harvest, ready to be drawn into the kingdom of God. But the workers are so few. The magnitude of the harvest requires a multitude of workers. Multitude of workers. It's so many. I mean, and look around you, brothers and sisters. Look at our community. Look, the throngs of people that don't know Jesus, the necessity, the multitudes are just, it's overwhelming. The question is, am I a follower? Am I following after his way? Am I following in his footsteps? Am I a disciple? Am I going into the highways and the byways and the corners, and the stores, and the streets, and the homes, and the cars, and the business? And am I bringing freedom for the captives, healing for the nations, care from compassion? Is that my life? John 4:35, as you look around right now, wouldn't you say that in about 4 months it will be harvest time? Well, he's looking at the fields and he's assessing the fields. He says, look at, well, that corn or that wheat, it's about 4 months that's going to be ripe. It's going to be ready to pick. He says, well, I'm telling you to open your eyes and take a good look at what's right in front of you. These Samaritan fields are ripe. It's a harvest. The Samaritan woman has just been told everything she's done. You don't have one husband. You haven't had one husband. You've had multiple husbands. You must be a prophet. Yes, a prophet, but more than a prophet. More than a prophet, but the Son of the living God who will give you living water. He asked you for water, but what I give you is living water, he would say to her. And she would go back into town and she would fan the truth of what had happened to her, that this prophet, that this Messiah of the Jews had come. He had come and he had told her everything that she'd ever done. And he was the one, he was the one, he was the one they were waiting for. He was the Messiah of the Jews. He had come to the Samaritans, a hated people by the Jews, hated and despised. But he saw the masses and he loved them. And he had compassion upon them. And he healed all that were among them. These Samaritan fields are ripe. What are our fields? Matthew 4:19. Come, follow me, said Jesus, and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I'll make you a disciple. Follow me. Another disciple said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. That's probably an important thing to do. Look at Jesus' response. He has no time for trifling. He has no time for foolishness. He has no time for mediocrity. He has no time for it. The world is dying out there. It's dying and going to hell. People are dying because they don't know Jesus. The harvest is ripe to the Lord Jesus. And he says to us, he says, follow me. But Jesus told him, follow me. Let the dead bury their dead. It's too late for the dead. But there's a world. There's a world of men and women out there who need healing. They need to be freed from their oppression. They need to be given the life of the gospel. Am I a follower in word and in deed? Matthew 9:38 from the New Living Translation. So the last verse of our text. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into this field. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send more people. The harvest is white. The harvest is ripe. It's so ready that it's falling off the stems. Says Jesus, looks out at the people with compassion. And he says, follow me. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send workers. And from the NIV, same verse, ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the field. Three different versions. And from the Message, Peterson. What a huge harvest, he said of this disciples to his disciples. Oh, and how few workers. It's just criminal. On your knees and pray for the harvest. Prayer. Prayer.